Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you for joining me again today. I do appreciate your listening. I pray the message is a blessing to you. And I pray the Lord grant you wisdom to understand and the grace to believe the things that you read. I want you to turn with me today to a very familiar passage in John chapter 3. And let's read in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? So many people misunderstand the passage on the basis of what people have told them born again means. And I understand that people are making an application of the term born again to mean they're now a Christian. But if we really let the Bible mean what it says, as it says it, and where it says it, then we need to understand there is a context and that words have meanings. They have their own meanings in the context in which they're written. And if we want to truly understand our Bible, we have to allow these words to have their meanings apart from what we may want to assign to it based on emotion or tradition or what some man that we're fond of has taught us. So let's go back to the beginning of the passage and let's analyze the verses as they're written. First of all, the man Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews and a Pharisee. He is a religious, learned man. We need to keep that in mind as he approaches Jesus. He's not somebody that cannot or should not understand what Jesus Christ is discussing. Notice he comes to Jesus by night in verse 2. And he acknowledges that Jesus Christ is a teacher come from God. And he acknowledges the miracles. And yet, he's ashamed or he's afraid to go to him in public during the day. So he's a religious individual that is afraid of public opinion concerning how he might approach Jesus Christ. But Jesus, as though knowing his thoughts, answers a question before the man even asks it. He answered and said unto him, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there's the first usage of the term, born again. Now, if we just let the Bible define itself as a 1611 King James Bible will always do, then we don't have to turn to some man's commentary, or we don't need to go to the Greek or the Hebrew. We can let the plain English that God gave you define itself. And the surrounding passages do just that. So there's the term, born again. And Nicodemus does not understand. In verse 4, he says, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He obviously is trying to place a fleshly understanding on the term born again. Notice then how Jesus amplifies the point in the next verse and explains the meaning in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Then notice he's defining born again as to be born of the Spirit. A man must first be born of water and then of the Spirit. Notice verse 6 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Then born of the flesh must pertain to being born of water, and born of the Spirit would pertain to that which is spirit. That's not difficult for you to see. Every one of us pertaining to the flesh was born of water. You and I spent the first 9 months or so in water in the womb. When a pregnant woman's water breaks, it's time to bring forth her child. They may call it amniotic fluid, but it's basically water with proteins and enzymes and whatever else to help cause that child in the womb to grow. You were born of water. A person would have to be born the first time in order to be born again. That's just common sense. But the born again is born of the Spirit. And Jesus made that clear if we'll just let these words have their own meaning. Born again is born of the Spirit. Born of the flesh is born of water. There are those that always want to try to insert water baptism into the water passage there. But you're not born of water in water baptism. All that water baptism ever did was identify that believer with the nation Israel and the new priesthood that would be saved if they endured to the end. As we talked about in our study on water baptism, it does not pertain to you, the body of Christ. You're baptized by one Spirit. And by the way, the baptism by one Spirit is not your new birth either. We're going to find out what it means. So far, we know born again means born of the Spirit. Now we're about to find out that this man, Nicodemus, shouldn't be surprised at this. Notice verse 7. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Notice he says, "thee," he's talking to Nicodemus. "Thee" is singular always. That's what's great about the King James Bible. It is specific and it is directly interpreting the Greek there. It is an exact translation, not a dynamic equivalent. It is a literal translation. In Greek and in Hebrew, they have singular pronouns and they have plural pronouns. Ye, you, is always plural. So when he says, "Marvel not," verse 7, "that I said unto thee, ye must be born again," it is ye in the sense of a group of individuals. And we're going to find out that that group is Israel. Verse 8, he says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And I could say everyone that is born again is like this wind he's talking about. Now you think about that individual, and maybe you're one of them, that claims, "I am a born-again Christian." And I understand what you mean. You're making a spiritual application of the term, as Peter would have done in 1 Peter when he says, "begotten again unto a lively hope." You're really misapplying the passage, but I don't have a problem with the spiritual application in most cases. But if you let this verse mean what it says, if you were truly born again right now, you would be like everyone that is born of the Spirit, like the wind. You couldn't tell when it comes or whither it goes. We get a perfect picture of that in Jesus Christ. Look in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ has been crucified, raised from the dead, and he talks with two that are walking from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. One of them's name is Cleopas, and he's with them as they travel, Jesus Christ, and they do not recognize him. Their eyes are holding of them, so they spend time and he speaks to them things pertaining to the scriptures and why it was necessary that Christ would suffer and die. Notice what it says in verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. And notice the risen Jesus Christ is sitting down to eat a meal. As he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Now think about this. Here's Jesus Christ raised from the dead in a body that is walking with them. They can see it. They can hear him talk. They don't recognize him. He sits and eats with them. And the minute he blesses the bread and breaks it, their eyes are opened and he vanishes out of their sight. A regular physical body cannot do that. Let's continue on, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as he thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Get a picture in your mind. The 11, which would be all the disciples minus Judas Iscariot, are there together, and suddenly Jesus Christ appears to them. It did not say he knocked on the door. It did not say he came through the window. Just as he vanished out of the sight of the two, he appears to the sight of the 11 there. And it must have been something sudden, miraculous, because they're terrified. Notice verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Well, nobody would have said that about a man that walked into the room. They were suddenly surprised because it was as though a ghost just appeared in the room. Verse 38. And he, that's Jesus, and he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Now it is clear that he's got a body that they can touch and handle, that can eat food as he ate the bread before, as he eats the fish now and the honeycomb. They can see him, they can hear him, and he says, I have flesh and bones. He is not a spirit as they suppose. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, but he does have a spiritual body. A body that is born of the Spirit, that can vanish and appear, as he did here in Luke 24, like the wind. They couldn't tell where he came from or where he went. Now that would match perfectly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Some man in Corinth, as Paul writes this letter, denies the resurrection of the dead. And Paul spends the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 discussing the resurrection of the dead and the evidence and proof of it. He says in verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So he's discussing a body that is raised from the dead. That's what quickened means, and it's a good word. I praise God he put the word quickened where it is. He uses that in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So quicken has to do with raising the dead. In other words, we're talking about born again from the dead. Resurrection. Jesus Christ is born again. He's been raised from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead, according to Colossians chapter 1. He's been quickened. That's what we're talking about. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. It's raised from the dead. He says there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Jesus Christ died and was sown in a natural body. He was placed into a tomb. He was raised up the third day, a spiritual body. How else would you explain him vanishing out of their sight? How else would you explain him appearing in the room and ascending up to the Father and coming back down? And yet he's got a body because they touch him and they handle him. He says in verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, that would be Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. In other words, their bodies are different. As the earthy is, they have a natural body. As the heavenly is, we shall have a heavenly body, a spiritual body. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 says that Christ shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. His body is a spiritual body, and we shall bear the image of that heavenly body. We shall bear that glory. But first we must be sown in order that we be quickened. Notice back in verse 45 where he quotes the book of Genesis. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. It said that God formed Adam of the dust of the earth, breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then it says the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How do you suppose that took place? The Spirit of God was breathed into that individual, Jesus Christ, and he became a quickening spirit. He was born again from the dead. Go back to John chapter 3. Remember what Christ said about being born again. In verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. They have a spiritual body. They've been quickened by the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Remember, Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. This is a man that is learned in the scriptures of the prophets. Genesis through Malachi was at his disposal. He knew the word. He should have known this. when Jesus was talking about being born again. There was nothing about that that should not have been understood by Nicodemus. That tells me then that the idea of being born of the Spirit, born again, raised from the dead, was clear in Scriptures. And Nicodemus should have known it, and he could have known it. You can find it in Ezekiel 37, for example. In Ezekiel chapter 37, notice the passage in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Notice the breath there. As God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul, he will cause breath to enter into these dry bones, and they will live. And I will lay, verse 6, sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So we've got bones and flesh here. Jesus Christ said, Touch me, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Verse 7, So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Notice the wind there. Jesus Christ said, The wind bloweth where it listeth, in John chapter 3. Look here again, chapter 37 of Ezekiel, verse 9. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Wind and breath are together. They mean the same thing here. So I prophesied, verse 10, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So they're alive. They're raised from the dead. Resurrection, quickening, born again. Born again from the dead, and born of the Spirit. Watch, verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So it doesn't apply to you, Gentile. It's Israel. He says, Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. It's prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. The promise, the covenant fulfilled. Verse 13, And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Resurrection from the dead. Verse 14, And shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live. He prophesied to the wind, and the breath came in. It is his Spirit, born of the Spirit, born again. That is clear to anybody that will simply believe their Bible. He says in verse 14, And shall put my Spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. That's born again. Now, what does that have to do with you? Well, first of all, that passage isn't your inheritance. Notice back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Come down to verse 49 again. Just in speaking of the terms of resurrection and the spiritual body, Paul says we shall have that body in verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So there's no question we too shall receive that type of body, because he's writing to the body of Christ. But notice what he says in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Then he says, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And the prophets told of the new birth. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, it's either prophecy or it's either a mystery. It cannot be both. Paul was given a mystery to reveal to the body of Christ that was not foretold in Scripture. And he said that mystery is, verse 51, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And he's talking about our resurrection, the resurrection of the body of Christ, which has an inheritance seated far above all heavens at the right hand of God. We're not waiting for bone to come upon bone and flesh upon flesh. You can see the time involved in Ezekiel 37. Rather, he says we're going to be changed in a moment. And that word moment there has to do with the smallest, most indivisible amount of time. So fast you can't even see it. It's faster than the twinkling of an eye. It's a mystery. People refer to it as the rapture of the body of Christ. And so it is. You can find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But the point is, that's when you will be quickened. That is your resurrection if you are saved and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You're going to be caught up, changed, fashioned like unto His body, and that's when you'll be born again. I pray Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. I pray you will be in that resurrection. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and have trusted Him that He died for your sins, I'll see you when He comes to change us in that day.
You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. Grace Family Bible Church meets every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Bible study and 11 o'clock for fellowship services. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.